We have the court. Let's try now. Halacha is a time when people get very carried away and they have a lot to say. So I want to hear what you have to say. Everyone wants to hear what you have to say, but please try to say, ask the question in the right time, and not to make this into a joke. Okay, let's try to keep some degree of decorum. Let's start. I'm going to run through a couple of halachas, very light, nothing too heavy. I'm using a Svardish sefer. This sefer is called Chanukah B'tzion. This is already the third or the fourth in a series by Harav Ben Tzion Mutzpi. I'm not pronouncing that correctly. Mutzafi? Thank you. Mutzafi. It's very clear that he's a Svardi. Very, very clear, and he's the son of a very big mekubel. He writes here, Ben lahagoyin atzadik v'ha'anav moshiyan shel Yisrael. What a nusach, wow. Ha'mekubel harav Solomon mo tzafi zecher tzadik levracha zuchus yogin aleinu amen chasidik kadisha li Yisrael. Anyone who knows this person is, obviously he must be a very holy person. This is his son. He quotes a lot from his father. Rabbi, please, let's try to keep the comments respectful. Okay. The sefer, this is the fourth in the series. It is a superb, it is an exceptionally good, it's clear, and even though he's a Sfardi, most of the sefer is halachas for Ashkenazim. Obviously this person who's writing this is very much mu'uraf with the Ashkenazim, and a lot of the things that he writes, come on, everything he writes, the quote here, the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, I'll quote all of the Litvisha, the Shevet Halevi, he quotes Kamat, all the Litvisha Paiskim, Kaseda. And he also mixes in some very unique things about the Sfardim. It's written, today you know what's good about a Sefer, today you have to look in the Sefer if it's written well. A lot of Sfarim today, they're not written well. The writing is very cryptic. It's a treasure when you have a Sefer with a Mechaber who writes clear and smoothly, and you're able to quickly absorb the information he's trying to convey. So let's start here with Minhagim. Minhagim, run through a couple of things very quickly. We'll do a Hagol, yeah?
What was his first name?
Ben Tzion.
Oh,
Ben Tzion Mutzapi.
Okay.
Hashem, okay. All right, now let's discuss some of the halachas. Okay, let's discuss that one halach is a su'udah. Is eating a su'udah, this is the Ramah, famous Ramah, is eating a su'udah on Chanukah a mitzvah? Is there a mitzvah to have a Chanukah party? Many of you will hear have family get-togethers. Is that called a su'udas mitzvah? Is there a requirement for a person to make on Chanukah a su'udah? The Ramah says no. This is a big machlokes rishonim. The Rambam seems to say...
A suda
generally means to wash, to eat bread, and to eat a meal. In other words, if ordinarily you do not eat a meal, until you fast. You fast normally, or you don't eat bread. To do something extra special on Chanukah in the world of eating.
Latkes and donuts.
No, that's latkes is not a meal. Latkes and donuts is just a snack. That's not a meal. That's not called a meal. Okay, it's not. Rabbi said, please, before you make a comment, Rabbi said, please think. Don't just. It's gonna turn into a litzanis here.
No blurting.
Okay, just before you say something, let's try, myself included. Let's try to think before we say things. Is there an inyan to have a su'uda? According to the Ramah, no. There was no takana made in the time of Chanukah. The mitzvah of Chanukah, the takanas that Chazal made were to light candles, whatever you want to call it, the neros of Chanukah, and to add into the Shemoneh Esrei al Hanisim. And if you happen to eat a su'uda, then you should be mazkir in noyde lecha, the miracle, the Chanukah miracle. To go out of your way to make a Chanukah party, to spend $100,000 and make a tent and bring your family together, there's no halacha. Does not say this should be done anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. it's not considered to be a su'udas mitzvah. The only thing the Rama says is unique to Chanukah is that if you have a su'uda, and during the su'uda you give over words of Torah, and sing songs, shirois v'sishbachos, then Chanukah has the toikif to transform that su'uda into a su'udas mitzvah. In other words, let's say it's not Chanukah, let's say it's during the year, and a person calls his family together, have a birthday party, whatever you want to do, you have a party, and you come together. And during the su'uda, a person gets up and he delivers the most amazing Dvar Torah you've ever heard your entire life. And everyone is swept away by the taikif, the brilliance of the Torah. Very nice. He had a su'uda, it was Divrei Torah, that is not called a su'udas mitzvah. There's nothing you can do during the year to transform a su'uda into a su'udas mitzvah. And therefore, l'may nafkamina, why should you waste your time going to such a thing? Someone invites you to such a su'uda, and you'll say, listen, I have to go to work. You want me to take off a day of work to go to your su'uda? If you're in Koila, I have to be mevatel a seder. I'm doing chesed. I volunteer. I should take off to go to the su'uda. Why? You're going to say divrei Torah. So what? It's a su'udas rishus. I am in oisek in making a parnasa. That's a mitzvah. I'm oisek in learning. It's a mitzvah. I'm doing chesed. It's a mitzvah. I'm not going to waste my time going to your su'uda no matter what. But Chanukah, if the su'uda will include within it Divrei Torah and Shirois V'Sishbachos, that transforms the su'uda into the status of a su'udas mitzvah, and now you have to really make a cheshbon. Now you need to make a calculation. Here I am. I'm going to work. I'm making money. I can take off if I really want. I can take off. So is it kedai to take off? Well, for a su'udas mitzvah, it might be kedai. It depends. Yeah, there you have to wait. It's a different calculation when you know that the su'uda is a su'udas mitzvah. So this is a very unique principle. It's very unique. It's kamat doesn't exist. There is another example. There's only one other example. Leave it out for now. But this is a very unique situation because derech klal, either it's a su'udas mitzvah or it's not. The Chanukah, it's not. By default, it's not. By default, you have no obligation to make a su'uda. However, if you do make a su'uda, and you do include within the su'uda shirois v'sishbachos to Hashem, or divrei Torah, I'm assuming related to Chanukah, that has the power, this is the unique, to transform the su'uda into a su'udas mitzvah, which is a different status in the world of halacha. It carries weight, and the food is a different type of food. And whatever there are other nafkaminas lahalacha and what that means, but it takes on an entirely different nature in the world of halacha. This is the halacha according to the Ramah. The Ramah is coming to Paskin, this is the halacha. The Rishonim that came before the Ramah, they debate this issue. And from the Rambam it's mashma, not like this. The Rambam it's mashma, automatically a suda on Chanukah is a sudas mitzvah. You do not need the shirois and the sishpachos to transform it into a sudas mitzvah. By default, it is already a sudas mitzvah.
Didn't the Rambam's father then?
Donuts, yes. That's the second shir. Later, I'll come to the Rambam's father.
So that's why he made it to sudas
mitzvah. No. A donut and a latke is a snack. That's not a suuda. Adarabba, cannot be a suuda. That's a different topic of discussion. It's not called the suuda. Let's now go to other minhagim. There's a minhag on Chanukah. The Ramah does not make any mention whatsoever in donuts on Chanukah. The Ramah says what you're supposed to in Chanukah is macholei cholov, milchiks. Mm-hmm. Okay, milchiks. Mm-hmm. There's no mention in the Ramah about donuts. Mm-hmm. The ikar food that a person should eat on Chanukah, zecher l'neis, zecher for Chanukah is chalavi, is milchik, something that is milchiks, chalavi, chalav. Why? Zecher to the neis of Yehudis, the daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. What did she do? She fed the king of Yavan, whoever this person was, when he laid siege to Yerushalayim. Now this event, by the way, did not necessarily take place during the time of the end of the miracle. Chanukah, we have to understand that the miracle of Chanukah was the 50 The Tkuf of Chanukah was a 50-year era. There was Gezeres Hashmad. The Yevonim were trying to destroy Yadus for approximately for a long period of time, but the intensity of the Gezeres took place over 50 years. Can you imagine a person born, a young person at that time, came out his entire life? He lived through a very difficult time, time period where he cannot be observant. And the Goyim were out to get him. They did not allow Bris Milah. They did not allow Chodesh, the Karban Tamid, the Menorah lighting. There were a lot of things that were going on. It was very difficult. Any woman who got married before she would be with her husband had to submit herself to the governor to be intimate with the governor. Can you imagine such a thing today? Something like that? That's how much they control the Jewish people.
Well, that actually was the practice in the Middle Ages in Europe.
Okay, it was a very different type of world then. And it was very difficult to be a religious Jew. This took place for about 50 years. During that period of time, not clear, a lot of the history was not clearly known, the details are not known. There was an event where one of the Greek generals laid siege to Yerushalayim, and Yehudis, the daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, she seduced him, it appears, to some degree. I'm not exactly sure the exact details. And she gave him a lot of milk. And now, milk by itself does not necessarily cause you to get tired. There's a whole technique. Milk brings on thirst that he would want to have wine. It's a process. You give someone milk, and then when they have milk, they get thirsty. I really don't know. It says here in this record, Vihishkasa oisai cholov l'roiv, an abundance of milk. I don't know, maybe it was cheese. The achar kach, hishkasa yayin, vishichrosai, and he became intoxicated, and he fell asleep, and she chopped off his head. She decapitated him. So you have to understand that the milk was not what did it. The milk was just a prerequisite in order to have him ask for wine, an abundance of wine. And the wine is what put him to sleep, and that gave her the ability to chop off his head. She presented his head, and when they put up his head in public when he's dead, then all of his soldiers, they fled, and the siege was over. Now, that was not the end of the war. That was the end of the battle. Of that particular battle, even the Chanukah miracle, Rabbi, so we know from history that when they came in, they overtook the Beis HaMikdash, and they retook the Beis HaMikdash, and they rebuilt the Mizbeach, and they relit the menorah. The war was not over. A significant battle was won. And that was, they retook back the Beis HaMikdash, but there was a lot more going on. And the war between the Yevonim and really the Jews, not just the Yevonim, was a civil war.
Are you saying that the Yehudis who did this, the Hall of Furnaces, the same Yehudis that the sister of the Maccabee?
There are different opinions. There are different opinions. It's very complicated. I don't know. I didn't prepare this. I remember at some time
I don't think they're the same person.
There are different opinions. I don't know the answer. There are different stories. There are different eras, and there are different opinions. A lot of it is very cloudy. I don't know for sure. I'm reading you what it says over here. He's a Bar Samcha, this fellow, who wrote this sefer. He writes that there was a person by the name of Yehudis. She was the daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, which obviously is the time of Chanukah. Chanukah story. Bimei Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Yubonov Kishon Malchus Yavon Harishah. She went to the Greek king, Asher Tzor al Huir Yerushalayim, Kama Asoroi Shonim, decades, Koide Maisa Matisyahu. This event took place decades before Batisyahu Bana, before the battles. The Hishkasa Isa, but it was all part of the era. Chanukah is not just a one-moment event. Chanukah is a reflection upon a long era.
Right,
a generation.
The daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, that incident sparked the revolt.
Correct.
That was the final straw. So that's not necessarily the same.
But he writes that this event took place decades.
Versions of the story.
There's a book, Judith, which is in the Apocrypha, in the Sifrei Pitonios, that probably tells you
More details.
Yeah,
okay.
Isn't it also that they want to have relations with anybody?
Yes. So the question is this part of that? Is this part of the story? It's not so clear because the story that you read more commonly is that she never actually went to him. That she was getting married, she was the brother of the five sons. Right. This was the son, not the son of Rabbi Yochanan. This was the what we're familiar with is that the five, Matisyo had five sons. And they had a sister. And the sister was getting married. And as was the custom, before you get married, you have to go to the Hegmon, Nivalola Hegmon. So she said to her brothers, it says here so that she got undressed. She came before her brothers naked. That's what it says in the story. Okay, very bizarre, right? Very bizarre. They're not going to tell this to you in Cheder. Okay, they're not going to tell you that part of the story in Cheder. And she said, this is what you want me to do? This is what you want me to do? So, when she did something extreme.
She shamed them.
By basically shaming them, whatever. She did something very extreme, which is very bizarre to us to understand. Very bizarre. We don't live in those times to understand exactly what was going through her mind. Why would that shake them up? I'm sure it shook them up.
Yeah.
But why would she want to do something like that? I don't know. I really don't know. But there's a lot more going on that we do not understand.
Clearly, she didn't want to go through with it.
Exactly. So what is she going and taking off her clothing in front of her brothers? What is that? What is that all about? I have no idea. Maybe what I'm saying is not fully accurate, but there is something about true that I just said. That's what it says in all the books.
In some state.
It doesn't say that Dina took off her clothing.
In some state of honesty.
Is that what it means?
Yeah. No, I.
Not what it says. It says
Aurum. I read that she came in torn clothing and this is supposed to be her skating party and so.
I really don't know. The story is very. You have to study the sources. We have to study. She did something very, very bizarre, and it shook up her brothers. And at that moment, they decided they're going to go, they're going to fight. They're going to be Meisur Nefesh. And that's when they're the Maccabees, they all got together, and that's where they formed an army and a rebellion. And it took many, many years. And when the miracle, the Hanukkah and Menorah, the miracle occurred, it wasn't over. It went on for could be even decades until it settled down. What?
25 years.
More, 25 years more later. Yes. And how many years before were they suffering from the Yavanim? It's a very complicated era. And what makes it more complicated is that the real opponents of the traditional Jews were not even the Greeks. It was a civil war. It was the Jews themselves who became irreligious. Who abandoned their religion and adopted the ideology of the Greeks.
And they
were so happy, the Greeks. Someone is fighting our battle for us. They supported them, they gave them money. But the people that were actually doing the fighting, it was an ugly, ugly period where it was a civil war. The Misyavnim were Jews. It was a war of Jew against Jew. And the miracle is that the Jews won. What does that mean exactly? Right? There's a lot about the story of Hanukkah that they don't tell you in Yeshiva Ketana. They don't want to disturb your delicate mind, your sensibilities, because you'll have too many questions and they're waiting until you come to the Kollel, the morning Kollel. You retire and you come to the morning Kollel to learn what really happened. Okay? It's a complicated, complicated story, and there's a lot. It's probably... It's a lot to learn, especially today. Today we're going through the same thing. Today we're going through a lot worse, in fact. Because today, how many Jews today value tradition in the world? A fraction. How many Jews are there in general? 15 million? No one really knows. There's no way to really know for sure an accurate number of how many Jews live in the world. They say about 15 million, but no one really knows. There's no way to really know. There's no way to make a correct assessment. From those supposedly 15 million people who can be identified as Yehudim, how many of them value Torah Shebaal Peh as an ideal for their life? I'm not talking about practice, b'diyuk. Everyone is a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, it's 100%. People who value. It's a very, very small percent. Okay, is it even at a million? Even 1/15? No, I don't think so. It's probably more like...
In Israel, at least 60% of the Jewish population is traditional.
Okay, so what does that mean exactly? It's a count less than...
They don't eat...
Okay, I don't know. I don't know. Okay, the statistics are very complicated. You have to really understand what these numbers mean. It's very, very complicated. Absolutely.
But the point is, every day that number is getting bigger.
That's right. Every day. How many Jews are there in Eretz Yisrael now? About 7 million Jews. That's also a number which cannot be clearly defined, even though they have a census. How many are Jews, not Jews? Everything is very complicated today. But amongst the 7 million, in Eretz Yisrael, about half of the Jewish population of the world, approximately, is living in Israel. Eretz Yisrael. Approximately. If that's even, we can really say that to be true. We don't even know for sure. Amongst the 7 million who are living in Eretz Yisrael, certainly they are much more aware of what it means to live like a Jew. But what does that mean? That's also a tough question. Some people will argue it's worse because they know what it means to live like a Jew and they openly reject it.
They don't.
Is that really true? Has that changed over the last 20 years? Yes, no. I don't know, I'm not knowledgeable in these things, but all I know is that it's extremely complicated. And there are many opinions in halacha, how to define all of these issues. And a lot of these issues of the fighting between different types of Jews is really rooted in the Yevonim. It's the Misyavnim. It was primarily Jew against Jew. A Jew that valued tradition, the Torah Shebaal Peh, the menorah, which represents our Shabbat path, versus the Jews who says, let's get over it, let's get on with it. Let's now enter into the modern world. The modern world, the modern world does not value these are not the values. Let's become like the Goyim. We'll be Jews, we'll live in the land, we will call ourselves Jews, but we're going to adapt the values of the Goyim. Or to, not necessarily entirely, but to a degree. And that caused an enormous amount of friction. And that caused war. And the whole Klal Yisrael was in a grave danger. It was extremely complicated. There are many, many facets. And that is what part of the story is. This is what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that there was an event in this era, a major event with a woman by the name of Yehudis Bas Yoichanan Kohen Gadol. Was that the Yehudis who was the sister of the five brothers? No. So that was their aunt, or that was someone else. I don't even know. It's not so simple. But the one thing that we do accept, if there are more rights, this we accept it. There was a woman whose name was Yehudis, who lived in this era that miraculously, with incredible Mesiras Nefesh, saved Klal Yisrael from destruction. How? By seducing the general. It sounds almost like the story of Purim, Esther, Amalka.
Actually, closer to the story of Yael.
Sisera. That's Tanakh. That's going back 2,000 years. That's going back to Yoel. Yoel, Esha, Schever, Hakeni. Okay, that's a different story. It's very similar. The details are almost identical, right? Came out identical.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
It could have been inspired by that.
Could have been, absolutely. You're right. I did not prepare for this. I'm pretty more halacha now. Okay, but the Ramos says there was an historical event of a woman whose name was Yehudis. He writes that it was Bas Yochanan Kohen Gadol. It was during the era. She miraculously, during this era, she saved Klal Yisrael by seducing this general and giving him cholov. What was the nature of the cholov? Was it salty? Was it cholov Yisrael? Cholov Stam? Was it Dunkin' Donuts? Where did they get it from? I don't know. That's not important. That brought on the need for him to ask for wine. That was part of the technique. So he drank the wine. He drank the wine. He was intoxicated. He fell asleep. She chopped off his head. She took the head outside. She hung it up. When they saw the head of the general was dead, everyone fled. The siege was over, and the Jews lived to fight another day. Okay? It wasn't. The battle wasn't over. The war wasn't over. But this particular battle was over. They lived to fight another day, and as a zecher for that, we drink, we eat foods that are chalavi, are milchiks, what we call milchiks, which are dairy. That's what it says in the Ramad. It makes no mention whatsoever about eating donuts or eating latkes. That is something we'll talk about later on. Okay, next minute. We have another minute on Chanukah of of okay, well, the donuts will come later on, of giving tzedakah. Okay, there is a minhag to give tzedakah on Hanukkah. Where does that come from? And that it's not. He has a whole bunch of theories. They give. There's an inyan to give. It's not just tam. There's an inyan to give tzedakah on Hanukkah. Why? One of the reasons that appeals to me, he writes, because he has many reasons over here, is that Vateka Kaf Yerech Yaakov. When Yaakov, you know, he went to retrieve the Pachim Kitanim, the Malach, he injured Yaakov Avinu, who is limping. And Rashi on the Pasuk, all of the Yesoidus of Yados are in Rashi. Chumash Rashi. There's nothing more important to learn than Chumash and Rashi. Every Yesoid in Yados can be found in Rashi after Sheni. Not just the first Aliyah. And Rashi there says that when the Malach went and injured Yaakov Avinu, this was a simen that this Toimchei Torah are weak. That Torah cost money. Torah is free. Torah is ma'ani b'chinim, af ata b'chinim. The worst speech I ever heard someone make their whole life, it really bothered me to no end, was the head of a very, very large institution. He gave a speech, and he said, Rabbis, I want to tell you, Torah costs money. It's not free. He's a balabas. He's not a Talmud Chacham, this person. He makes believe he's a Talmud Chacham. He's not a Talmud Chacham. Torah cost money. It cost a lot of money. And you have to give us, we are appealing to you. Torah costs money. We need money to support Torah. You have to give us money. I really felt that it's personal, that he said it in very eloquently, a lot better than I can ever say, the way he made that appeal. But I felt that is totally, totally keneged kol haTorah kula to talk like that. Torah is free. It's a chazal. Ma ani b'chinam af ata b'chinam. Torah is available. It's there. Yeah. Come take it. Abayisai, we're making an appeal. You want to give money? We want to give money. We need money, this. But to make the whole thrust of the appeal and say that every oyf that comes out of a child's mouth is only going to come because you pay money, the focus. There's a way to ask for money. We all know, an ein kemach, ein Torah. That's a given. Pashut pshutu kemashmoy. But you don't go say to a tzibor in front of that Torah costs money. That you have to buy it. Otherwise, there is no Torah. That's not a correct attitude. Believe me, Torah doesn't need your money. Hashem will take care of the Torah. The Torah is going to survive whether you give them money, you don't give them money. Okay, Torah will take care. We don't need you. We have to do our shtadlus. We have to pay the bills. And we're not letting you out of this room until you hand over your credit cards. There's another way to ask for money. You can be very aggressive and nasty in asking for money, but don't go present it that you have to buy it. You don't have to buy it. Leave it alone. It'll take care of itself. Ma ani b'chinim af ata b'chinim. Torah is the DNA of this world. It will survive whether you cancel your credit cards or not before we get a chance to swipe them. It's going to survive. Happens to be that no one is leaving this room until you give us all of your money. That's a different technique. But when the Malach, and I'll take your question in a second, okay? When the Malach went and injured Yaakov Avinu was limping. And Rashi there says this was a simen maisa avos laban, simen maisa avos simen labanim. Is that throughout history, the Toimchei Torah, the leg is the support. Yaakov Avinu is the Ish Emes Torah, will be weak, the supporters will be few and far in between. The Toimchei Torah always suffers. As Rav Meir once told me, there's a special Malach in Shemayim that was created with one tafkid, that if it ever sees a yeshiva is reaching 70% of its budget, SWAT team is dispatched to make sure the yeshiva does not get there, to 70%. The yeshiva has to suffer. There's no yeshiva in the world that has it. You can never, ever have enough money. in a yeshiva. No such thing, every yeshiva in this world, and the more true they are to learning, the more sincere, the more they struggle. That's the way Hashem made the world. Chanukah is all about Torah. The menorah represents Torah Shebal Peh. The true story of Chanukah represents the battle between the Jews who valued the Torah Shebal Peh, the tradition of Torah, the Mesorah of Torah, versus the Jews who wanted to give it up just to move on, to give it up and adapt to the secular values of this world. Therefore, to show, the proof is always in the pudding, to show that you really believe in the nature of Chanukah is to give tzedakah specifically to support institutions that specialize in Torah, to support Talmidei Chachamim. That is what the minhag is. That's what he writes on the Rabbi Mitzapi. He writes here on the bottom. He writes many reasons for the makar of giving tzedakah, but this is something which resonates with me. This idea of why there is a special inyan of giving tzedakah specifically for the goal, for the support of the study of Torah, of course, children. What more can you possibly want? That's the best thing. The tinoikos shel beis rabban, the hevel tinoikos shel beis rabban. Remember, Pam used to say that people have big money would come to him. They'll come, where should I give my money? Where should I give? I have big money to give. Should I go give it to this organization, to archaeological digs, to preserve the history of, should I give it to the build kiln, the Beis HaMikdash? Should I give it for a museum, a Torah museum? Should I give it to make Aliyah? Should I give it? You can come up with a thousand organizations, kulam ahuvim, kulam birurim. Each organization is kodesh kodashim. But he would say the ikar money you give to tzedakah should go to the basic yeshivas in your neighborhood, the elementary schools, to help them. You want to give big money, you live in a community, there's a yeshiva ketana where they teach tinoikos shel beis rabban Torah, the basic Torah institutions, whether you like them or not, that's where your primary tzedakah should go. For Talmud Torah of tinoikos shel beis rabban. After you give that money, you do what you're supposed to do, and you want to go or have a new organization to do something no one ever heard of before, a gemach for Chanukah latkes. Make sure every Jew gets a taste of Yiddishkeit and has a Chanukah latke. We'll deliver it to your door. It's very nice, but the priorities have to be in order. Talmud Torah, the Rabban. Chanukah is a time to reassess and to reassess what your priorities are. Okay, let's go to another minhag. You had a question. Yes, quick question.
I have to do a statement, one of them one question.
You have a statement and a question.
Okay.
Marasha Kilas
Yaakov. And also for the payment of the Torah, Torah Shabbat, not Torah Shabbat.
Say it again. Say that, the last thing you said, say it again.
The payment
for
Torah Shabbat.
No, Torah Shabbat. You don't buy your Sefer Torah. What is more, you're asking a very good question. What should you do if you have a lot of money? You have $50,000 to burn. Question. Should you give it? Should you buy yourself a Sefer Torah? I'll commission a Sefer to write myself a new Sefer Torah. Or I'll give it to a yeshiva katana, to pay a Rebbe his salary for the year. What should you do? What should you really do? I'm a big talker here, right? What would I do? What would I do? I would take and go to Atlantic City. What would you do? If you have $50,000 to burn, what would you do with $50,000? Buy a Sefer Torah. Wow, right, make a nice achnos, and the newspaper, and you have a give out the torches to all the children, have invitations, and you be in the newspaper, and covered. Or you can give it to Yeshiva Ketana, hasn't paid the bills, and they have a Rebbe, third grade Rebbe, who needs, they pay him $50,000, he can pay a salary.
And
there is no question to pay the Rebbe the $50,000. That's where the money should go. There are plenty of Sifri Torah in the Urim Kodesh that will never see the day of light. You know why? Because there are Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of Sifri Torah in the Urim Kodesh. Unless someone once told me something, it made a very impression on me. Someone years ago gave me money, here's money to go buy Sfarim. So I said to him, I know I really need the money, but you know, like I said to him nice words, I'm not, I don't want to get into this mode of taking. It's a slippery slope. Come a shnara, Baruch Hashem, I have what I need. Noose, I won't have another sefer, so I have enough what to learn. I have enough svarim. I don't want your gift. It's okay, you can keep the money. So he says to me, no, I'm not just doing it for you. I know you go to Beagle Eyes and you buy these funny type of svarim. A lot of the mechabim are very poor. They're poor people. And by buying the svarim, you're being machzik the poor people, the people who write the svarim. You're giving them chizik. So it's a win-win for me. You'll have the sefer, you'll be happy. And, you know, you buy Safari, you don't buy Art Scroll. Art Scroll has enough money. Don't go buy an Art Scroll Gemara. They have the Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem, they're doing well. Use the money to buy Sfarim from Chabrim, who it'll be either they need the money, or it'll be a chizik for them. People get very depressed in this world. 1% is safer, so some appreciation. That way it'll be good for you, it'll be good for them. I was very taken. He said, very nice. A Sefer Torah, I saw this also. A person wanted to buy a Sefer Torah. He bedafka asked the servant, I got 50,000, I'm going to burn 50,000. I need only the Sefer Torah. No, my family, they want a Sefer Torah. All right, we have the money. Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem. I'm under a lot of pressure. But you know what? Give me a Sefer who really needs the money. I want to commission a Sefer that this money is going to be the difference between night and day, between putting food on the table and being a shnar. That's, I don't care about the ksav. It'll be good enough. This ksav, that ksav, nicer. I'm going to anyway burn the money, so let me at least use it in a way to be machzik someone who should have a benefit from the money. That's an attitude.
For the sake of Torah, will bring on north 50 years of thousands of people.
How do you know?
They don't have enough Sefer Torah in the shul? Every shul has too many Sefer Torah today. Too many Sefer Torah. Most Sefer Torah they don't even use.
So simple.
What is it better? A Rebbe has Parnasa for 1 year? Or for the next 100 years, someone else will have a sit to walk around. What's that? What's so important in that coffin to walk around with the Sefer Torah? He'll take another Sefer Torah. That's not. What?
You're not the Sefer Torah.
A Sefer Torah is a very nice thing. It's a beautiful thing. But Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation today, there are more than enough Sefer Torah. More than enough. And yet Parnasa, there is none. Parnasa, many people, believe it or not, suffer. People, they struggle. So what's an ikar? A Rebbe has Yishuv Hadas. He can teach children. The impact he can make on the child will last for generations. A Sefer Torah is locked up in the Aron. Who's ever going to see it? They'll take it out a few times a year to learn from it. They'll fight. It'll be Adarab. You know what happens most times? Just a fight. Why using his Sefer Torah? Use my Sefer Torah. And then there's an ugly fight between the Balabatim and the Shul. Whose Sefer Torah they get to use? That's what you need. More Machlaikis. Not enough Machlaikis. You have to use your Seichel. Look at the big picture. Unless you're saying, no, by me writing the Sefer Torah, there's a family in Eretz Yisrael, they don't have what to eat, they have children to marry off, so by having him write the Sefer Torah, Adarabba, you're supporting a family. If that's what the cheshbon is, wow, that's a very nice cheshbon. How many people do you know make that cheshbon? Most of that I know, when they go buy a Sefer Torah, they only want the best. They want to see all the samples, and they want to see who has the nice ksav, the one that you can show off to. Does anybody have a meaning of who the Sefer is, what's going on? Usually not. Okay, one more minute, we're out of time, I'm going to go to donors. One more minute, and I'll also a little bit of a drushvart. The minute to play dreidel, okay? Chanukah dreidel. There's a minute on Chanukah to spin a dreidel. Okay, and the letters on the dreidel are Nes Gadol Hayasham. In Eretz Yisrael, what do they write on the dreidel?
Oh,
Nes,
wow.
Every year I tell this over to you, Nes Gadol Hayapal. That's a modern thing, to say Nes Gadol Hayapal. There's a mice with the Bel Zareba. I think it was the Bel Zareba. I was by his kever. Is that exactly the bell? I think it's the bells, Joe. The iron bells. Correct? I think, yes, I was by his. He was buried right next to Rav Moshe Feinstein.
Yeah.
Right next. And I was there, mamish, davening by his kever, only within a couple of days ago. So if I'm not mistaken, the Maisa was with him. He came to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't live much longer after the war. How much, how long did he live after the war?
14 years.
14 years? Okay, I take it back. Okay. He came a broken person. He came to Eretz Yisrael. And I ended up learning a lot about him. I know someone who knew the Gabbai, and the Gabbai said, his Gabbai, who Mamash took care of him from the last years, he says that people say, they say about him, he was a Baal Moifes. He said, I never saw any miracles. I took care of him every single day. I don't know what they say, miracles. He was a very holy person, but don't make a Baba Mises. There's one thing though, he said that I never understood about him. This is his Gabbai. He never ever ate. Yeah. I don't know how in the world he survived. He ate mamish nothing.
He didn't make a moitzim.
I don't know. This is the Gabbai says. Oh, moitzim, I never saw my face. I never saw him do miracles for anyone. He was holy, that he was for sure. But I never understood how he got by. Like, he just never ever put food in his mouth. That was his observation. But the maisa with him was, he came to Eretz Yisrael, it was Chanukah. And he was a very holy person. He says, Chanukah, there's a minhag Yisrael to play dreidel. And I don't know, I haven't touched a dreidel yet, but there's an Indian to take a dreidel and to spin a dreidel. Minhag Avos saying, minhag Yisrael. I want a dreidel. Bring me a dreidel. Minhag Yisrael is Kodesh. Old man, a rabbi, an old man, where's the dreidel? He came, broken man after the war was over. They brought him a dreidel. He picked up the dreidel, and it said the letters, Nes Gadol Hoya Po, here in Eretz Yisrael. He said, like an Esrog, this dreidel is puzzle. It's puzzle. Nes Gadol Hoya Sham. Hoya Sham. Now, by the way, the miracle was in Eretz Yisrael. So how was the original dreidel Nes Gadol Hoya Po? Right, it's a whole story in of itself. I'm not going out. And it's very interesting. He said, there's a lot of holiness in this minhag. The letters spell Goshna. Okay, there's a whole lot. I don't want to go into this now. Mm-hmm. And he says, get me another dreidel that has the right letters. And they searched and they could not find. I love that part of the story. The whole Eretz Yisrael. They couldn't find in any store a dreidel that said, this is from the 50s, the 40s, the 45, 46. I don't know when it was exactly. Of irony came. 57. Okay, so about 10, a little bit more than 10 years after, 12 years after. So they couldn't find. And they went to, and I don't know why, the story is that he was very upset. And they went to great lengths to find, what's the big deal? Just cross it out and write on the dreidel with the letter Shin. I don't know what was so complicated, but they went to great lengths. And it made a roisham on the people is that even in the Minhoge Yisrael, even the details make a difference. To me, it's a joke, right? It's a joke to us. Big deal. It says Neis Gadol Hoya Sham, Hoya Paul. Who cares, right? But it's a matter of it's a story from the past, which there's something to this story. I don't know if today you could find an Eretz Yisrael dreidel that says Neis Gadol Hoya Sham. I didn't look around, but there's something to this story that haunts me. Okay, whatever it is. Okay, all I want to conclude with one drushvart. Now, as the Hagdama to the Drush, let me tell you a Vart that every single person in this room heard at least 10 times. I don't want to bore everyone here, so if you hear 10 times, everyone in the room, we have an astronomical number of how many people heard the Drush, but that's, I'm only saying this to you as a Hagdama to what I really want to say. And that is, on Chanukah, we spin a dreidel. On Purim, we spin a grager. So what is the famous word everyone heard only 1,000 times? Why is it that the dreidel you spin from the top and the grager you spin from the bottom? So what does everyone know the answer? Because Chanukah was called Isra Usa Dile'ela. The Jewish people, we don't find they exerted themselves as a community to pray to Hashem for salvation. We don't find in the miracle of Chanukah this concept of Leich Kinois es Kol HaYehudim V'tzumu Olav Yal Teichlu V'yal Tishtu Shleish Es Yom Laylavim. We don't find that. It was an act of kindness from Hashem. Hashem saw the suffering of the Jewish people, and Hashem from above, on His own, He came down to this world and He spun things in our favor. Purim it came Israel Usa, it was an arousal militata from below, where we, Klal Yisrael, Esther, Mordechai, they galvanized the Jewish people, Lech Kinoises Kol HaYehudim. So the spinning, the motion that put things in process, the process began milamata. So you hold the gragger from below and you spin from, because we are the ones who made it happen. Chanukah, we spin it milamala because it's symbolic that the Ribbono Shel Olam from above, he spun things, he got things moving. It's our benefit that we should have a salvation. Okay, Chastei Hashem. That's the very popular vart. I want to tell you the sequel to that vart, which you never heard before. Maybe you did. And that is another fundamental difference between Chanukah and the Dreil on the Haggadah. Another very, very, it's even more significant. And that is, the gragger, when you stop spinning, the gragger stops. When you're spinning, when you're shuckling, it makes noise. And when you stop, no more noise, it's over. The dreidel, the whole koyach of the dreidel is, how much koyach can you put into the dreidel to spin? And when you let go, the more intense, the more powerful that spin, the longer it spins. That's the difference, Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah is about the appreciation of tradition. Okay, it's the appreciation of Torah Shabbal Peh, the menorah, the Chanukah, which represents Torah Shabbal Peh. When you apply yourself to Torah, the benefits are not seen today. The benefits trickle down generations from now. The investment you make today in learning Torah, you're spinning the dreidel. It goes. Purim, it was tefillah. One of the main differences between Chanukah and Purim is Chanukah is Torah, Purim is tefillah's prayer. Now, let's not get carried away here because it says in the Megillah, Kimu v'kiblu. Purim was a renewal of Naseh v'Nishma. But that was just an acceptance, a Kabbalah, al ha'osit, that we will now accept upon ourselves. That was a secondary element of Purim. The Iker salvation of Purim is davening, the Koyach HaTfilah, Lech Kinois Eskol HaYehudim, Vitzumu Olai. The goal was to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. What is the Beis HaMikdash? The place where you daven. The Iker focus of Purim is really tefillah, prayer. Chanukah, we're not into davening. No one's getting up early to daven in Chanukah. Okay, you daven every time you daven. They have maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Hal, you think hal, shiur, there's no tainus Esther. Chanukah is not preceded by a tainus Esther. Chanukah is Torah. The menorah represents Torah. It is an appreciation of the beauty, the significance, the depth of Torah. Torah, in many respects, is more powerful than tefillah. Torah, we know Chazal say, Torah protects you at the time that you're learning Torah. When you're learning, you're protected. When you close the Daf Gemara and you go home, you're still protected. Torah, Chazal say, is Megan be'idna, v'shaloi be'idna. It radiates for a very long time. Tefillah, mitzvos, when you got a problem, you daven. The problem is over, your koyach is over. It's limited. The gragger, you shake. When you're shaking, when you're oisik in the gragger, you're oisik in Torah, in tefillah, and mitzvahs, you do mitzvahs. Mishalach monos, mikra megillah, there are things that you do mitzvahs, it protects you. Chanukah has an element that's much greater. You spin it, and you let go, and it keeps on going. The koyach, the investment you make in appreciating what Chanukah is all about, that will preserve you, your family, Klal Yisrael, for generations. Okay, that's an important point to and it's quiet. Also, it's quiet. You don't even know. Purim makes noise. The gragor makes noise. It's right. When you daven, you make noise. You have instant results. But the instant results are limited to the moment. Chanukah, the results are affected down the line years later. All right. We'll take a short break, and then we're going to talk a little bit about donuts.
The Ishtadlus. The Ishtadlus of Chanukah were more. They fought.
Battle.
There's no Ishtadlus by Purim.
That's right. That's another element. You're probably right. There are other elements.
What does Hazorim B'nim mean?
Yeah, those are seeds.
That you have to do work. Hazorim is hard work. So if you do hard work, to sit and cry.
Okay, that's right. And it's true. They did Ishtadlus. They actually went to battle. People died. You have a cold? What happened to you? You have a cold?
I don't know.
You know the joke that the guy comes to guy.